Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we begin what is commonly known as Holy Week. After 6 long weeks of Lent, Palm Sunday marks the beginning of our final leg on this journey, the journey that takes us both to the cross on Calvary's Hill, as well as the empty grave in the garden. And when you stop to think about it, my friends, Palm Sunday is rather symbolic of the life and the ministry of our dear Lord and Savior. The events that took place on Palm Sunday tell us everything we need to know about Jesus. The events that took place on Palm Sunday give us a clear, concise, and correct answer to the question that great King David posed in our psalm for today: who is he, this King of glory? While we all know the account of Palm Sunday quite well, Palm Sunday gives us an opportunity to remember that our King is the kind of King that this world will never understand. Our King is the King who conquers his enemies by surrendering to them. Our King is the King who crushes his opponents by allowing his opponents to crush him. Our King is the King whose path to exaltation includes willing humiliation. Palm Sunday reminds us that our King is the kind of King who goes into battle as one of us, for all of us. Palm Sunday reminds us that when we stay focused on our King, we will always be assured of this truth: his humility is our hope. Luke begins our text for today with the words, "after he said this." What is Luke referring to here? He is referring to Jesus' parable of a man of noble birth who went away to a distant country to be crowned king. Before he left, he summoned 10 of his servants and gave them 10 mina, and then told them, "Put this money to work until I come back." When the man returned as king, he rewards those who put his gifts to good use, but he punishes those who refuse to acknowledge his kingship. We see something similar take place on Palm Sunday, don't we? Some of the people hailed Jesus as the King who comes in the name of the Lord, while others, most notably the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, rejected Jesus' kingship and even plotted his death. That parable of the nobleman who went away to have himself crowned king, that parable now gives us the opportunity to ask ourselves, how do I view Jesus' kingship, and how is my view of Jesus' kingship revealed in both my heart and in my life? After drawing our attention to that parable, Luke then continues with the very familiar words of Palm Sunday. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.'" There are a couple of things that we need to make sure we emphasize here. First, this is a very good example of the fact that as the true Son of the one and only living God, Jesus knew exactly what his disciples would encounter when they went into that village. He knew exactly how the owners of the colt would react when they saw Jesus' disciples untying their colt. And he knew exactly how Jesus' disciples were to respond when they were challenged. In the same way, Jesus knew exactly what was waiting for him when he entered into the city of Jerusalem. Not one single aspect of the events called Holy Week caught Jesus by surprise. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him, and still, he continued on his journey. Secondly, no one sat on an untrained donkey and tried to ride it, especially if they were planning on riding it into a crowd of shouting people. And yet, as the King of creation, Jesus was able to do this without any difficulties whatsoever. This is yet another example of the fact that our King is always in control of all things, right down to this very day. And finally, there is that powerful picture of Jesus riding on the back of a donkey into the beautiful, beloved city of Jerusalem. The significance of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey is threefold. First, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey identified Jesus as someone who belonged to the royal line of David. You may recall that Solomon was publicly declared to be the heir to David's throne by riding on David's donkey. Secondly, if the king wanted to demonstrate his power and his majesty, he rode on top of a mighty war stallion. By riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, Jesus was openly proclaiming that he was coming on a mission of peace. This dovetails quite well with the fact that in ancient times, a king would ride a donkey in order to proclaim that all of his enemies had been defeated, every threat had been put down. A war horse was no longer needed because there was peace. And of course, you and I know that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey to fulfill that ancient messianic prophecy recorded in the book of Zechariah. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, before we move on to the next portion of our text, let's take just a moment to recognize the example that these two disciples have left for you and for me. Think about it. Jesus instructed them to go into this village, untie someone else's donkey, and bring it back to him. Jesus also told them what they were to say when they were challenged for untying that donkey. What was the disciples' response? They did precisely as Jesus told them to do. They didn't question Jesus. They didn't challenge Jesus. They simply listened to Jesus' instructions. Do we show the same kind of humble obedience to what our King says to us on the pages of his holy word? If Jesus tells us to do something or to not do something that might put us into an awkward situation with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, do we humbly obey what our King tells us, or do we question and challenge what our King says to us? If we ever find ourselves in a situation where we might hesitate to be obedient to our King and to his word, we would do well to remember the example that these two disciples have left for us. Now look at verses 35 through 38 of our text. Luke continues with the familiar words. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. We know from other portions of Scripture that there were different groups of people included in Luke describes as the whole crowd of disciples. There were those who came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover festival. There were those who came to praise God for all the miracles they had seen. Remember, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead just shortly before he victoriously and triumphantly rode into the city of Jerusalem. And then there were Jesus' 12 chosen apostles. Did all of these people truly understand why Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey? Probably not. Some of them may have thought that Jesus was finally going to gather his army together, drive out the Romans, and establish his kingdom right here on this earth, with Jerusalem, of course, as its capital. Remember that even Jesus' chosen apostles anticipated that he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. Some of them, especially those who had come from faraway places to celebrate the Passover, may have been caught up in the enthusiasm of the moment and joyfully joined together with the crowds in singing their praises to their God. And then there were those who, by the grace of God, grasped the true gravity of this moment, the true gravity of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey is found in the words, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." These are words of pure praise, my friends. Praise to the Lord God for sending the Messiah King into this world. And note very carefully that, much to the chagrin of the Pharisees, who were also in this crowd, Jesus willingly accepted these words of praise. Up until this day, Jesus told people not to openly proclaim that he is the long-awaited promised Messiah. Remember that even as they were coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus said to Peter, James, and John, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." But now the time had come. Now all the world was to know that through Jesus there is peace in heaven and glory in the highest. While few, if any, of the people in this crowd anticipated that Jesus' upcoming coronation would not be with a crown of gold, but rather with a crown of thorns, from our perspective, it is very easy for us to connect the dots between the songs of praise that the great company of heavenly hosts sang when Jesus was born, and this song of praise that the people sang on the day that Jesus triumphantly rode into the city of Jerusalem. The realization that there were different groups of people within that huge crowd that was praising Jesus leads us to ask ourselves, which of these groups best describes me? Are we like the people who came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover and suddenly found themselves in the middle of a Palm Sunday celebration? In other words, are we here today simply because it's Sunday, and as much as possible, we try to make it a habit of going to church on Sunday? Or are we here today because today is Palm Sunday? We knew it was Palm Sunday, and we wanted to make sure that we did not miss out on bringing our praise to our King as we watch him triumphantly enter into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Or are we like the people who were praising Jesus for all the miracles that they had seen? In other words, are we here today simply because, as we look around in our life, both in the past and in the present, we can see that God has been good to us? We can see that on an earthly level, God has richly blessed us in more ways than we can count? Or are we here today because, in some ways, we are like Jesus' own disciples who did not always quite understand why Jesus came into this world? Think about it. Jesus' own disciples were competing with each other over the earthly advantages that Jesus could give to them. "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Have we ever misunderstood Jesus' reason for coming into this world? Have we ever looked at our connection to him? Have we ever looked at our connection to his church as an opportunity to ask Jesus to grant us our self-determined list of earthly wants and needs? The reason I ask you to look at the different groups of people that were praising Jesus on that first Palm Sunday and then ask, which of these groups best describes me, is because I want all of us to remember how important it is to stay focused on the fact that Jesus' reason for riding into Jerusalem on that donkey was so that he could reach his goal, the cross on Calvary's Hill. Remember that the reason Jesus rode on the back of a donkey was to emphasize his total and complete humility. Remember the real reasons for Jesus riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Jesus rode into Jerusalem defenseless, knowing full well what those who opposed him were resolved to do to him. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday because he was resolved to accomplish eternally important things for you and for me. Who is he, this King of Glory? May God grant that not only on Palm Sunday, but each and every day, we know the correct answer to that question. This is Jesus, our King. Because we know that Jesus is our King, we know this truth. His humility is our hope. Our hope for peace in heaven. Our hope for glory in the highest. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.